In trying to fathom the thinking behind what Rav Kook wrote concerning Shemitah, I have to introduce it with a very lengthy and illustrated introduction. The introduction will have two parts to it, one concerning Pshara, compromise, as opposed to din, mishpat, judgment. Okay? The second topic of the introduction is Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost object. Something which on the Monday night shiur was discussed somewhat. When the introduction is over, we have building blocks to the svara, to the thinking of Rav Kook, which probably will only be able to understand in its inception, and then, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, one more time we'll be able to go ahead and see the entire perspective of Shemitah. And we'll begin with page one of what I've prepared for you, just to learn a couple of psukim of Chumash. Shavtim v'shatrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha, you must appoint judges and policemen. Titen lecha, it's for your benefit, it's for your purposes, you must have it. B'chol sha'arecha, in every single city, asher Hashem elokecha nosen lecha lishvatecha, which is granted to you by Ribbono Shel Olam, and the purpose of it is b'shavtu esau mishpat tzedek. They are to judge the people with a mishpat, with judgment, so that it becomes tzedek, so that it becomes righteous. Justice that is righteous. Lo satem mishpat, you will not be able to deviate. Lo sakir panim, you don't recognize anyone as being more important than the other. Lo sikach shochad, there can't be bribery at all. Ki hashochad yaver inecha chamim v'salev divrei tzadikim. Once there's any kind of ulterior motive in bribery, the economic motive, you cannot have justice, even in the smartest of people. As a matter of fact, the Gemara indicates here that it is shochad, even when you go ahead and take shochad, and the judgment is correct. The guilty is guilty, and the innocent is rendered innocent. Even under such circumstances, when shochad exists, justice has not been served. Can't be. You give a tip to the judge for paskening your way, then judgment is prostituted, is completely severed from what we call the divine ray of MS, of truthfulness.
What does it mean by Yaver and Ichachomim? What does it mean by Yaver?
You see, everything in the world is a matter of perspective. Bachochom has a certain perspective that one who is not initiated into Chochmah doesn't have. That perspective of Chochmah came from the Svarim, from Torah HaKedosha. Go ahead and put the Shochad in front of the Chocham, and because a human being is a human being, he is blinded to the thinking of Chochmah.
His output will be different then.
Has to be. Yeah, I know. Okay. Tzedek, tzedek, tildov. Okay? The obvious question is, why is tzedek repeated? You must go after justice. Tzedek. Leman tichye, because this is your lifeline. V'yarashta sa'oretz, and as far as you are concerned, Moshe Rabbeinu says, as you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, if you want Eretz Yisrael to exist, asher Hashem elokecha nosen lach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you, it's tzedek, tzedek, tildof. You're going to have to pursue justice. Now, what is the tzedek as opposed to mishpat? What are the two? Now, the various pshatim over here. Tzedek, tzedek, tildof. If you take a look on the second page, the Torah Tmima already indicates to you the middle one. You have three tzedek, tzedek, tirdos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Tana Rabbanan, the Mishnah interpreted, the Braisa interpreted it as follows, that the Pasuk Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof means Haloch Achar Bezdin Yafeh. If you want real tzedek, you must go to a qualified bezdin, bezdin yafeh. And the Gemara there in Lamed Beis gives you all kinds of examples. Who's bezdin? Rabbi Akiva's bezdin, and so on and so forth. Achar chachamim liyeshiva. That's where you're going to get true tzedek. Where you have a yeshiva of talmidei chachamim. Elsewhere you won't get. But there were other ways to look at it. Tzedek, tzedek, tildof, take a look at the first one on the page at the Torah Tzmima quotes, the same Gemara. Echad ledin, one tzedek is when you need judgment. A court. Adjudication is the word. You and I have a fight, we cannot settle it amongst ourselves, we go to a court. You present your evidence, I present my evidence, so we're going to rely on the process of either the jury or the court or whatever to decide, and we have empowered as a society that court to be not only a shofet, to judge, but also to be a shoter, to implement or to enforce whatever the judgment is.
Well, it doesn't make sense one okay. Without the other.
All right, has to be. Echod ledin, that's one tzedek, but there's another tzedek altogether, the echod lipshara. The second tzedek over here that you must pursue is compromise. I don't understand. If din is the highest, the ultimate, the value that we strive for, because din, underlying din, is the process of arriving at MS, why make a compromise? In a compromise, for sure you don't have MS. I say that you owe me $1,000. You say, we don't owe you $1,000. Simple as that. One thing's for sure, money passes between us. So we go to a din and you present your evidence, I present my evidence. One of us is going to be zakai, innocent, the other one is going to be chayav, is going to be guilty. So at least, to the best of our ability, we have tried to pierce to the center and to the core of truth. Same thing when we go to a pshara, we go to some kind of compromising arbitration. Not the real arbitration, but compromising arbitration. And the arbitration comes out and with a compromise, look, not $1,000 to be paid. Will you both be satisfied with $500? And I say, okay, $500 I can owe you, not $1,000. You say, look, the guy owes me $1,000, but let me get my $500 and I'll take whatever I can. Is that MS?
No.
It's sheker on both ends. Either way is sheker. What?
So
we got to see. Okay, so you're saying it's shalom. The Gemara, tragically, you live 1,600 years too late.
Okay. Because apparently, if the guy is willing to give you $500, it means that he does owe him money. I mean, otherwise, the other one that wants to take the $500, he gets something out of it, right? So there is a sheker involved because somebody's lying in here. I mean, you must admit it, correct?
And this lie is characterized by the Chumash as a tzedek. He can decide. How is it possible? You see, not only, even if there were only one tzedek in this pasuk, and we interpreted it to be the compromising pshara, should you have a problem? At its logical root, it's sheker. How can you go ahead and glorify sheker? Even if it just said tzedek to adult. But what becomes more difficult is when the first tzedek and the second tzedek follow on the heels of one another. That it's tzedek, tzedek, as if they're both the same. They can never be the same. At least one is an attempt. It may be an imperfect attempt, but it is sure more perfect than the second tzedek of pshara, where there's a sheker both ways. Nonetheless, the Torah says what it says, and the Gemara says what it says. Let's take a look at the same concept a little elsewhere. On page 3 in Dvarim, in Veschanon, beginning with Pasuk Yud Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shamar Tishmarun, you'll surely be careful to guard and to protect es mitzvos Hashem Elokechem, the mitzvos that I give you, Eidosov, Chukosov, in all of its forms, Mitzvah, Eidos, and Chukom, and Chukim, Asher Tzivoch, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And that is the truth. This is what you learned, this is what I taught you, and you must guard the truth. In Pasuk Yud Ches, V'yosisa ha-yashar v'hatov v'enei Hashem. Again, two words, yashar, that which is straight. Yiddish calls that Erlich. That's the Yiddish for Erlich. And Tov, that which is good, b'enei Hashem. Why? Leman yitavloch, because if you will be able to maintain this, u'bosa, when you come, v'yarashto esah, etzatovah, Hashem nishba Hashem la'avisecha, you will then succeed, etc. and so forth. You will see that this is the cement that will keep you glued to the ground. Yashar and Tov. Now, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the first Pasuk, we have a support system that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us, a pitch. Remember, you got to keep the mitzvahs. So, you got to keep the mitzvahs. There's a choshen mishpat. There's a part of the Shulchan Aruch, Bein Adam Lachavero. You got to keep the mitzvahs, so you know. You come to a judge every single time that you have a dispute, and you figure it out. Two neighbors, two business partners, any two who are involved in an interface of life. Finish. That's Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shamor Tishmerum. You better be careful. Be careful not to abrogate these mitzvahs. Then in Pasuk Yud Ches, there is something else. V'yosisa ha-yashar v'hatov. It is something else because Rashi tells us it's something else. We could learn it that Yud Zayin and Yud Ches are nothing more than a continuum, the same support, that by doing the mitzvos and protecting yourself, that this is the yashar, this is the right way, and this is the tov. You could learn it that way, but Rashi somehow doesn't see it that way. If you look down in Rashi, in Yud Ches, you can definitely okay.
Could have been the Vav could have been.
Yeah, no question. The Vav Achibur, yeah.
Yosha yeah. Is Elach.
Right, let's look at Rashi. Look what Hayosha Vahatov, what Rashi does. Rashi says that Yosha, which is Elach, and Tov, that which is good. All right, and Yosha means straight and honest, pure. Straight as an arrow, right? That's Yashar. And Tov, that which is good, Zop Shara, Lifnim Mishur Sadin. The concept here is not Din, as we may interpret in Pasuk Yud Zayin. In Yud Ches, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us a new concept. The concept of compromise, and compromise is Lifnim Mishur Sadin. Now what does Lifnim Mishur Sadin mean?
Before the... Lifnim Mishur Sadin.
It is a deeper concept, lifnim. You have a box and you look at it from the outside. That's a very superficial looking at it. But lifnim or bifnim, all right, within the box, there's a diamond ring over there. Kolzman, as long as you look at the box, you're only looking at the wrapping. Maybe a very nice wrapping. But the essence is what's inside. Bifnim. Lifnim mishuras hadin. Shura, the din, the book, is without question a treasure. But there's something in between those lines. And those things in between those lines is a far deeper, or better still, a far higher status than simple din. There's emes, which is without question the book. There's something higher than emes. And he's telling you pshara is higher than emes.
Most of the examples that the Gemara uses when he talks about Lifnim Mishurat Adin, for sure, seems most of them are not for sure.
Okay.
Most of them are, if somebody loses something, because the example I can think of, somebody loses something and you don't have to return it, and you return it, so that's Lifnim Mishurat Adin, but that's not for sure.
Okay. Rashi says what he says. Okay. Who am I to disagree with Rashi?
No, it's I don't understand it.
In this particular, it depends. You're right what you're saying, but there is another meaning to Lifnim Mishur HaSadin. There's one meaning, like you're saying. Lifnim Mishur HaSadin means you're not obligated to return that object, right? But you're doing your tzaddik. You're doing better than you're supposed to. That's Lifnim Mishur HaSadin.
Now, let's take a look.
But Lifnim Mishur HaSadin, here is another meaning to it. Apparently, this is, in other words, the deen is so far so and so, but you're doing. You do by doing pshalo, you're giving a little bit not the din. There is the din is this is the law. But you do, you want to be nicer. You make it sure.
I hear what you're saying. But, you know, being nice is not always a wonderful thing.
It is not. You're toiv. Toiv is good. The pizzas are good.
But, you know, being nice doesn't necessarily have to be toiv. But toiv is purely good.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah, but being, okay. But pshor, what is pshor? You are giving in. You're giving in to that guy. You don't have to, but you're making him sure. You yourself feel I'm right. Right? What is the deen? I'm right, but I want to be a nice guy. So I'm giving in to him, so I make him sure. See? Like the previous example you gave. You said, I owe you $1,000. And he says, no, I don't owe you anything. So in your eyes, that he owes you $1,000, you feel like you're right, because the guy actually owes you $1,000, right? But, so you make him sure. What is sure? You're giving in to the guy. Okay, you don't have to give me $1,000, give me $500. So you're giving in to him. So this is being nice, being good. So this.
And this is a higher. This is a higher value than din.
In apparently, because when you say when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said, do not judge us by midas adin, but midas rachamim. Apparently, midas rachamim.
Al tavoi monu.
Apparently, the rachamim is greater than the din. Because the deen, if chas v'sholem, if we have to be judged by the deen, as ochel vei.
And rachamim is sheker.
But rachamim is rachamim.
Emes chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbanu shel Olam signs his contracts with Emes.
But this, that's true. I mean, the world was world was created by Midas Hadin, right?
Joel, your problem and what you're saying is nothing more than an exact replica of what the Gemara had in Sanhedrin Dabov on the base. I want to show it to you. This is not new. You've innovated nothing. This whole conversation, the whole conversation was already anticipated in the times of Tanoim. And we can give it, we have to see it. There's no way to be able to come out with the concept yet unless we see it. On page 4 of this little pamphlet, Rabbi Eliezer, I told you it's the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Vav on the base. There are three opinions as far as Pshara is concerned. I've underlined the three opinions, line 1, line 19, and line 39. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, indicated that the halacha is osur liftsoa. Liftsoa means to split, and this is a Talmudic, this is a Gemara's way of saying Pshara. Same thing. Because in the Pshara, it's let's split the difference. I mean, in common parlance. Historically, there may be some way of looking differently at Bitsia and Pshara, that Liftsoa probably would have to be with qualified judges, and, I'm sorry, with laymen, professional, knowledgeable laymen, Liftsoa. You have a machlokas over some kind of dry goods or fabric. So you call in two from the industry, and that's it. You have a machlokas in real estate. You call from the industry, a couple from the industry. You sit down with Tzoa. Pshara is within court, that I'm not giving you guilty and innocent, but we'll sit down, we'll make arbitration, we'll see what we can do, mediation. But I'm a judge. I can also judge you. It's a theory, but nonetheless, for our sake, the word liftsoa is nothing more than synonymous with the word pshara, the compromise. Rabbi Eliezer said, also liftsoa. There is no way in the world that you're allowed to enter into compromise. The chol habotseya, and anyone who does go ahead and defies my opinion, hareze chotei, it is definitely an avera. V'chol ha-mevorech es habotzeh, and anyone who praises compromise, ha-reze mina'etz, you're ultimately turning out to be a mechalel Hashem, and also spitting a Torah, because the essence of Torah is din, to be able to arrive at judgment. V'al zeh ne'emar, and this is the way I understand the posuk in Tehillim, botzeh, if you are going to sit down to a compromise, borech, and you think, or berech, you think that this is a bracha, this is truly a blessing, I'm telling you, ne'etz Hashem, you are destroying the godly concept in judgment. Ella, rather, says Rabbi Eliezer, Yikov Hadina Sahar, as difficult as it is, if, let's say, it is so difficult to arrive at judgment, as difficult as drilling a hole through a mountain, Yikov Hadin Esahar, as if drilling a hole through the mountain, so be it. Shenema, because the Pasuk says in Devarim, Ki HaMishpot LeElokim Hu, the godly is to be able to arrive at judgment, no matter how hard it can be. V'chein Moshe Hayomer, Yikov Hadin Esahar. The Gemara continues, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, no matter how hard it was, and he stumbled sometimes, you know, Nisalmo Mimenu Alocha, but he went back, and he made sure that there was judgment. Avol, but I must admit, says the Gemara, Aharon was a different personality. He was Ohev Shalom, or Rodev Shalom, pursuing peace, Umesim Shalom Ben Adam Lachavero, trying always to bring peace among people, Shenemar, Toras Emes Hoyesa Befihu. Alright? There's no question about it that Torah's emes was in his mouth. It was truth. The avlo lo nimtzav v'sfasov, and there was no deception on his lips. But b'shalom uv'mishor halach iti, he walked with me b'shalom, always trying to bring peace among people uv'mishor, at the same time on a level ground. And as a result, the rabim heshiv me'avon, and so many were protected from sinning. This was the personality of Aaron. So the construct of Din and Pshara is personified in the two brothers, in Moshe and in Aaron. Anyone know, when Moshe died and when Aaron died, where was the Avelus greater? Where did Bnei Yisrael feel more lost? Any idea?
No question. It says in Torah here, Vayivku Bnei Yisrael Shloshim Yom, Yisrael Shloshim, 30 days, they... And it was, that's right there. I mean,
when Aaron was missing, you knew he was gone. The buffer in between one and another of Bnei Israel was gone. It was like the discs in between the vertebrae. When it's destroyed.
What are they doing with Aval Aaron or Hev in this context in the Gemara? What are they doing?
To show that there's no question that Rabbi Eliezer says, there's no question about it, that I know Pshara. And I understand where Pshara came from. Yeah. And its importance is personified in Aharon. But what? Let me tell you something. Moshe, Torah, Tzivah, Lanu, Moshe. Yeah. If I had to emulate someone, let me emulate Moshe Rabbeinu.
Would Rabbi Eliezer would say Shammai first?
This one? Maybe yes and maybe no. Okay?
Sounds like Shammai.
I'll give you another one. It sounds like Shammai, but you're unfair. I'll give you another approach. This was after the Churban of Betar, where Rabbi Akiva, remember, wanted only to be able to be independent of Rome. And independence of Rome means I have my own Botei Din, I have my own Sanhedrin. This was afterwards, because when Betar fell and the revolution was crushed, one of the things that Rome insisted on with such incredible cruelty was that there be no Jewish courts. This was Asar Ruge Malchus and so on and so forth. No Jewish courts. So how do we adjudicate between us if we can't legally go to a court? Privately, if you and I have a machlokas, so we'll go to him and we'll quietly go to him. Says Rabbi Eliezer, sorry buddy, you think that's a big mitzvah? No sir, you got to go ahead and quietly do it with courts. You fear for your life, so be it. This is a possibility of looking at it rather than Beis Avon B'Shar. Okay, now let's continue on. We're on line 11. Once we quoted this pasuk, this famous pasuk from Tehillim, that's not a pasuk. The pasuk from Tehillim was, is Botzea Berech is Neetz Hashem. Okay. Then the Gemara continues on to explain the pasuk in other ways. Line 11. Abliyezer Omer Harei Shegozal. Can you imagine if someone goes ahead and steals Sa'os Shel Chitim, a measure of wheat? and goes ahead and grinds it to flour, va'afa'o, and bakes the flour into bread, v'hifrish mimena chala, and goes ahead, because it's a mitzvah to take chala, and separates chala, and makes a bracha on it. It's ketzad mevarech, how do you go ahead, and what bracha do you make on this? Ein ze mevarech, elo menayitz. A bracha at that point, asher kichonu mitzvah v'tzivon alaf rashas chala, is the biggest chilul Hashem in the world. Val ze ne'emar, and this is what the pasuk meant, when Tehillim wrote to Botzea, when you go ahead and eat that bread, that hamotzi lechem min haaretz, you're making a bracha, berech, nonsense. This is the opposite. Ne'etz Hashem. This is absolute blasphemy. Rab Meir looked at the pasuk differently. The same pasuk. Rab Meir omer, lo ne'emar Botzea elo keneged Yehuda. You know, this Botzea means the incident with Yehuda and Yosef and his brothers. Shenema. It was in the desert there where Yehuda said, Vayomer Yehuda elachov ma betza, what gain and glory will we have, kina haroges achinu, if we'll go ahead and kill him. Let's throw him in a pit and let's sell him, let's kidnap him. Bechol ha-mevarech es Yehuda, and anyone who will go and say, ah, Yehuda, you're unbelievable, because you came up with a compromising scheme full of sheker that ultimately saved his life. And the sheker had to be perpetrated. They had to go get a gedi, a lamb, and shecht it, and take his coat, and they had to stand in front of their father. Let me ask you something, guys. Can you imagine standing in front of a parent, you, I, and telling your father that my brother got killed, and this is what I found, this is all that's left of him, knowing full well that you sold him, you kidnapped him? How would you feel? How do you think you'd feel? So says Rab Meir, Kol HaMevorech Es Yehuda, on line 17, anyone who will say to Yehuda that this compromise that saved his life ultimately, he should be credited with the most unbelievable scheme, according to Rab Meir, Hareza Menayitz. I'm telling you, you are bringing blasphemy on Torah. Val ze ne'emar, and this is what the pasuk meant to Botzea Berech Ne'etz Hashem. Finished with that.
Yehuda, because of Yehuda,
I hear what you're saying, and if you'll ask me these questions, we'll never get to our point. Understand? Exactly. I'll be happy to sit and learn the Gemara over again, you see, but let's just get the Pshara. Let's look at the Pshara.
Is it true that it says there is a few things that you are allowed to make, to say a shekel?
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
You're allowed to say a shekel.
I hear what that's Aram. Okay, that's Aram.
Right.
I hear.
Apparently, okay.
But remember where we started out with Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, all of these techniques, which are inherently sheker, he refuses to accept. You know why? Because your integrity is always at stake. If I hear the talk of practically, the word is pragmatic, it worked. But my God, you sold your integrity down the drain in each one of these cases.
Is that the halacha, you don't say a bracha over something you stole?
100%. Okay.
Well, I have trouble with that. Okay, I learned philosophically just the opposite.
What, philosophically? Yeah.
I mean, I would say it's bad enough you did one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you want to do a second of error?
Okay, it is a long and complicated machlokas. Rashba speaks about it. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah goes at it. The Rambam goes at it also. And you can ask a half a dozen other questions. Because it'll completely derail us from where I wanted to arrive tonight, let me just strengthen your question even further. Strengthen it and leave it as a question. The Rambam interestingly writes that Avera has its concomitant or its resultant onish. No big chiddush. And Mitzvah has its resultant schar. Okay, now, the question is, how do you figure the schar and the onish? If in one action you have both Schar and Onish, in other words, Mitzvah Abba Bavera, which is what you're asking about. So on the one hand, you have a plus something, let's call it a plus two, and you have a minus one. Does it figure in separately, or do we first take the bottom line of this one action and then figure that in? Because if we figure it separately, then your question is a question. Why go ahead and create a second Avera and not make a bracha, when you can go ahead and get the schar? And who knows, maybe the schar for the bracha is a plus three, and the Avera is only a minus two. So you're still ahead plus one. We don't know what the value is of the schar and the Avera. I'm the schar and the Onish. We don't know. So the Rambam questions that. There's no question at the same time that the Rambam paskins that mitzvah habera, above habera, okay, is not a mitzvah, you're not yosef.
Is this clearly a case of mitzvah above habera, or could you look at it as two separate?
Here is worse.
Did you steal the wheat only to make the brach?
Okay, there you are. That's already the Rashba. The Rashba distinguishes between cause and effect over here. And that, separate shiur on over it. All right, and if you can't wait, just by coincidence, Ira Cronenberg showed me his bar mitzvah pilpul, which was on that Rashba. Okay? He after a couple of years, he wanted to see if he truly understood it. But he figured out that there may be problems. Okay? At least the way it was written, there's no problem with the Rashba. But you've totally derailed us as far as that is concerned. And we have to assume here by Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and all the others, that ultimately we have to say, you must restore integrity. You must. And integrity, because emes is chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are no two ways about it.
I wonder whether the same halacha would apply. Would the same halacha apply, like if you were a charitable institution and you took money which was taken by a gezel?
Unquestionably so, because the Maharsha, on that inyan, the Maharsha writes openly in Ksubas that those who steal from the goyim and give to tzedakah, and they want a mishaberach for it on top. Okay, because after all, I just gave you $75,000. You understand? I want a plaque. I want a mishaberach.
So what's the answer?
So the Maharsha says openly how people fool themselves. Can't they understand the simple pshat of a mitzvah above? I'll show you the Maharsha. No problem. Let's go on. The second opinion on line 19. Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kocha says, sorry, mitzvah liptzoa. When it comes to making a compromise, a pshara, it is a mitzvah. And I'll tell you right here and now that the Rambam paskins that way. Rashi paskins that way, seemingly, the way we saw in Rashi. Mitzvah liptzoa, shenema, emes umishpot, shalom, shiftu b'sha'arechem. Number one, there's truth. Truth leads you to mishpot. All right? No two ways about it. But there's also shalom. There's also a sense of being satisfied. Being satisfied. Shalom. Shiftu v'sha'arechem. Three things. Ask the Gemara. That's the pasuk.
It's not mishpat shalom.
No, MS. Oh, you want to say mishpat shalom also? Okay, you can say it also. MS. Mishpat shalom is shiftu v'sha'arechem. Now watch what the Gemara does with this. Ask the Gemara v'halo b'makom sheyesh mishpat. If you're going to have judgment, is ein shalom. How can you have shalom? The judge is going to say that I am guilty and you're innocent. I'll ever be able to look you in the face again. Huh? You'll ever be able to look at me in the face again? You spit at me every single time for having cost you so much time, effort, energy, aggravation, and also lawyer's fees.
You knew this before this whole litigation.
I hear what you're saying, but after the litigation started, facts are facts. I'm not going to look at you. It's not going to solve anything other than the inanimate problems. But from a human relations point of view, says the Novi, it may not start anything.
Before this litigation starts, do you think you're going to be right?
Okay. So let's see.
But even at that point, even when you know you're going to be right,
Don't you perceive, you project and say, you know, I'm going to be right, but Coloni is still not going to, he's not going to speak to me for sure. Or you think, well, I'm going to be right, and he's just going
to
say,
but a person has a need to always be right, at all costs. Okay? It's a need, it's an instinct. And the Gemara continues, 21, Ubamokom Sheyesh Shalom. And if you'll ever arrive at Shalom, then you have to know Ein Mishpat. It's not that you have judgment. It's because you have something else. Ela Ezehu Mishpat Sheyesh Bo Shalom. How can you have Mishpat at the same time and Shalom?
What's Peshat there? Just simple Peshat and
what?
Why is Shalom not Mishpat?
Because Shalom, where you and I are satisfied, cannot come where one is guilty and one is innocent. But we have to arrive at some kind of compromise, pshara.
That's where you,
yeah, no. Well, no, it's fine. Wait a minute. It's not, no. It's no teretz yet. Okay, this is no teretz. It's still a question on the pasuk. How can you have mishpat and shalom? It just they are two. They are mutually exclusive. If you have one, then human nature being what it is, you won't have the other. That's all he's saying.
Why is not shalom mishpat?
Because it can't be, Rob. I won't be able to look you in the face.
The person and I have a dispute, and we come to some shalom between us. So that's
no, but shalom.
That's the mishpat between us.
That's the unusual. That is the exception to the rule.
But if the mishpat is that you're right and he's wrong, then it's not going to be a shalom between you.
Who's the, but who knows what's right or wrong? Who knows that the balance is
off? Sir. You know your profession, and you know that if Mishpat is going to be arrived at based on Hilchos Eidos, and corroborating evidence, and you know, as I saw yesterday in court, that any lawyer, and Lahavdil,
no,
any
you
dayan,
know there is a Mishpat, and
yeah,
you agree to a
shalom. No. We go into court, all right? And my witness is grilled by your what do you call it, by your attorney. And he breaks down my witness on simple observation, and he gets him on a technicality, and I lose. I know that you are wrong, and you know that you are wrong. But you win, and I lose. There's going to be shalom between us? Is it going to be shalom between us? That's what it says. That's all. If you go the route of mishpat, you are burying shalom. If you go the route of shalom, and that means pshara, a compromise.
So why is that not mishpat?
It's not mishpat. Because as we said at the beginning, pshara, as opposed to mishpat, is a compromise where you arrive at, you agree to arrive at the most imperfect solution, but I'll be satisfied. From an objective point of view, it is the most imperfect solution when we split the difference.
It's assuming that there is an ultimate MS mishpat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes,
that.
Yes. Now,
well,
right.
You don't know MS mishpat.
Right.
And shalom is mishpat.
Hold on.
No.
Then shalom is shalom.
No, because the shalom. Because I said, if you have $1,000 and you split it up, you don't know who. You may not know. You might
a lot
be
of cases where you don't know the mishpat.
Yeah, but that's
you
a.
Arrive at a shalom.
That's
okay.
A
now, is that a lesser degree or a higher degree? That's the issue.
Same.
Is it the same?
Perhaps. If you don't know who mishpat, maybe.
And probably what Rashi is telling you based on the pasuk, that it is tov v'yashar, it is better than judgment. Because after the process is over, remember what we got. We're walking hand in hand. Vayelchu shneim yachdo. On the basis of sheker.
I understand.
That's it. That's the issue. All right. That's the issue.
Of course.
Ella? Line 22, Eizem Mishpat Sheyesh Bo Shalom. When can you have Mishpat that incorporates Shalom at the same time? So from here it would seem that your reading of the Pasuk is correct, Joel. Is Havi Omer, let us say that Zeh Bitzua, this is Pshara. And you want proof for it, V'chein B'David, Omer. Take a look at David.
David was praised. Vayehi David osem mishpat utzedaka. David was capable in one act of accomplishing judgment and also tzedaka, being charitable. Halo kol makom sheyesh mishpat ein tzedaka. If there's judgment, how can it be tzedaka? Judgment is hard, cold, objective fact, and tzedaka is compassionate action. And when you have tzedaka, ein mishpat. These are mutually exclusive. Elaizo mishpat sheyesh bo tzedaka. What are we talking about? Hevi omer. Here is where it was zebitzua, that was compromise. Now wait a minute. If you are compromising, and that's your judgment, it would seem as if asan letana kama. We are in a catch-22 situation. Circular reasoning. Now watch what I mean by circular reasoning. Tanakama means Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Remember, we started out to look at this David HaMelech and say that here is where you have a mitzvah to make a pshara. Now, this is what the Gemara says. It follows through. Watch. If by David HaMelech, Donis Hadin, he went ahead and accepted judgment, he took it upon himself to adjudicate, and Zikos HaZakai, he said, this one is innocent, V'chiyei V'sachayav, and this one is guilty. And then he sees that the one who was guilty happened to have been a poor person. So you know what he used to do? Shilein lo mitoch beso. He went ahead and he advanced the money to the oni and pay the judge. Pay the rich one, the one who it owes. Zeh mishpat utzedaka. Mishpat lazeh utzedaka lazeh. One, the rich man got his money back and the oni had with what to pay. That's so mishpat utzedaka. Well, it's not so bad.
No, it's not patzeh.
But it definitely isn't. No, it definitely isn't what?
Patzeh.
It definitely isn't mishpat necessarily. What tzedaka is it?
No, it is mishpat.
What?
It's not patzeh.
You think so?
It's not patzeh. That's
mishpat. Oh, it's not a pshara.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying. I didn't hear. Okay? It's not a pshara. Because in a compromise, both have to be dissatisfied. Here, everyone wins. Here, everyone wins. Why did David HaMelech take out money and give it to the Chayav, who was Oni? Could it not be that he held that it's also to make a pshara? It's also to make a pshara.
Well, it wasn't a pshara.
Why? That's the point. But here, but the Gemara brought this to indicate that this is a mitzvah, and the proof of it, the model, is David HaMelech. Take a look what David HaMelech did.
That's two separate
two inyonim. And you can infer from it that when David HaMelech went ahead and opened up his royal treasuries to the Oni and subsidized the Oni, not because it was a pshara, but because he held maybe that pshara is also. You've got to arrive at emes. And the emes is that this rich man is supposed to get the $1,000. Okay, the fact that I have to subsidize an oni, that's a different story altogether. But that doesn't mean that it has to be on the back of the rich man. Okay.
That wouldn't be mishpat
tzedek. That's not a mishpat tzedek. It's in the mishpat. So the parentheses, leave the parentheses. It doesn't say anything. Go to 36. It's kashile l'rebi. Rebbe asked the question in general on this whole Gemara. The pasuk that we learned by David HaMelech was that he did mishpat utzedaka, and the pasuk ends off lechol amo, to the entire people. Is kashile l'rebi hai lechol amo? Did he do this with everyone? Every time he saw two people and one was losing, he opened up his treasury? No, it was only to an oni. Now, chol amo wasn't oni, the entire population wasn't poor. Is la'anim ibayle? It should have said only to the anim that he did mishpat utzedaka la'anim when the anim were involved. Ela, Rabbi Omer, is afal pi shelo shilei mitoch beiso. Even though he didn't go ahead and take it out of his treasury, just the other way around. Okay, in other words, there was no oni. Still, zehu mishpat utzedaka. When it was mishpat lazeh, utzedaka lazeh. What mishpat and what tzedaka? If you don't have a poor person here, where's the tzedaka? Says Rebbe, he explains it, this is what I mean. Mishpat lazeh shehechzir lo mamono. The one who got back his money on the basis of mishpat, and that was emes. Okay? And Stokolozer, and the other one who had to pay the money, who was guilty, he still is at Stoker. He did him an act of charity when David HaMelech made him pay. How? Shehotzi gezela mitachas yado. Because ultimately there is a higher authority and you're going to have to give din b'cheshvan after, you know, after you come to the pearly gates, l'acha me'ev esrim shana, and you're going to have to be judged if chas v'shalom you have gezela on your hands.
So this is a
what an incredible stucco when David HaMelech made me pay that $1,000 here, I can be scot-free in the Yom HaDin, in the true Yom HaDin.
So that's so this is a proof that it's a mitzvah for Lotzeya. That seems like an argument against Lotzeya. Is that where we're ending off? It's an argument against compromise.
Again, you're right, but remember the same way we said the first time we had problems. Don't lose sight of what I'm trying to do, and that is to show you the machlokas of Pshara. Okay? Third opinion, 39. Rab Shimon ben Menasseh Omer differently. Rab Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, it is neither osur nor is it a mitzvah. And if you just for a second go to the end of 41, where I've underlined it, is Atara Shoy Lamalahem Tzu. It is optional. Now when is it optional? Let's reread it. Rab Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, Shnaim Shabo Lefanecha Ladin. Two want judgment. Ad shelo tishma divrehem, before you start and you hear their sides. Oh, mi she tishma divrehem ve'i alito yodei alehechon din noteh. If you listen to their sides but you don't know what the true halacha is in these cases atarashoy lomar lahem tzu ubitzu. You are entitled. You have the option of saying to them, listen, you can go the route of suing, but you can also go the route of settling. All right? It's optional.
Only in that case.
Yeah. Misha tishma divrehem. But however, once you heard the sides, v'ata yodei aleichan hadin noteh, and you know how to paskin the halacha, then sorry, buddy. I ata rashai lomar lahem tzu'u b'tzu'u. Now the pasuk that we learn, the option that it is not open, the option is not open to you once you have started the process of judgment and you know what the final decision, the verdict is going to be. Poter ma'im is reshis madon, and this is a tough pasuk. Poter ma'im means to get rid of water. Okay, you try to get rid of water, and what is the ma'im symbolizing here? The Mayim of Torah. And you know what the Torah says on it is Reshis Madon. Only can come Tsaris, but you can also look at it as Din, Madon from Din. Alright? That's only at the beginning of Din when you lay the Torah aside. When you don't know where it's going, then you give them the option. But once the floodgates are open, in other words, once the process is clear, your side is stated and your side is stated, and we know what the halacha is, then sorry, you can't do anything. V'lifnei hiskala hariv netosh. Before the fight becomes totally clear, in other words, both sides put down what they're saying, then netosh, you can go ahead and uproot. What do you mean uproot? You don't apply Torah. Meaning, kodem shiniskala hariv, before the sides are stated, ata yachol nocho, to go ahead and nip it in the bud. But misha niskala hariv, once the sides are stated, then iyata yachol linocho. You can't go ahead and use compromise. Reish Lakish adds to this in terms of pshara. Reish Lakish amar shnayim shebo ladin. Two come to court. Echad rach, one is weak, the echad kasheh, the other one is aggressive and strong. Ad shelo tishma divrehem, before they present their cases. Oh, misha tishma divrehem. Or if they already presented their cases, v'iyata yodei lehechon din noteh, and you don't know what the judgment is atara shoy lamar lahem, you can say to them, ein ani niskak lahem. I'm sorry, I'm not going to judge in this case. Shema nischayev chazak, because it's liable to be that the aggressor is going to be guilty, v'nimsa chazak rotfo, and then you're going to come and burn my house down, which is very common. Mishatishma divrayim, but once you heard the sides, va'ata yodei aleichan adin note, and you know exactly who it is, and wherever the chips may fall, i'ata yachol lamar lahem eni niskak lahem lachem. You cannot say that I will not judge for you. Shenemar lo soguru mipneish, because the Torah says elsewhere you'll have no fear from anyone in Parshas Mishpatim. You were made a judge, you took the responsibility, that's for better or for worse, even if it costs you your life. Shara. And what is the halacha? What's the halacha? Well, I told you Rashi, let's take a look at the Rambam.
That's what you're saying, Baba. You're saying if you don't know, then maybe
you're going to be okay. Well,
unfortunately, American law today, the show is very much kind of after, you know, one side's going to
what?
American law today, very often, the show comes about after.